Things are changing massively right now, and crypto is playing the biggest part in why politics is changing right now internationally. We're going to go over what's going on with Russia right now, Ukraine, and the entire backstory of how all empires sort of form in the first place and why that is important to what's happening right now. But let's start off with what some of the misconceptions and kind of the bad ideas starting off here to kind of explain why things are happening in a certain way. So Peter Schiff, obviously, he is the number one person that is against Bitcoin and for gold. And he's saying that Bitcoin is only used for speculation, just like gold. I guess Appel has no idea that gold is widely used to make jewelry or that it has significant industrial applications. I guess he also doesn't understand the government's hold gold as a reserve asset. And that's the key point right there, is that governments hold gold as a reserve asset. About 70% of all the gold on Earth is owned by either a corporation, bank, or government entity. So Peter Schiff wants to go back under the gold standard, but under that standard, it would be still controlled by all of the largest corporations and everything like that. And you would still need government laws. You would still need all of these kind of upkeep organizations. You know, you need the large banks and large hedge funds and things like that, which is what causes a problem in the first place. So Peter Schiff is just, he's chasing his own tail, saying that Bitcoin isn't good when he doesn't understand cryptocurrency. He doesn't understand why it is so important. And I really want to get into this article, and I talked about this today earlier on my live stream, but Bitcoin Policy Institute. Now, you would think that they would hire a lot of people who know a lot about crypto, who know a lot about the Bitcoin standard and why it is so important, but this person who wrote this evidently doesn't understand anything about crypto or why it's even around. So let's start off by reading, "No, Bitcoin won't save the Russian economy from Western sanctions." This whole premise is just stupid, in my honest opinion. But let's go over some of the background. Western governments have unleashed punishing sanctions on Russia in response to their invasion of Ukraine, cutting off Russia's financial system, imposing severe export controls across a range of key industries, and targeting Putin and his inner circle personally. Some onlookers have speculated that Bitcoin and cryptocurrency could enable Russia to bypass these restrictions, but it is unlikely that any cryptocurrency will provide any meaningful way for the Russian institutions, officials, oligarchs subject to these specific sanctions to accomplish widespread asset flight. Instead, Bitcoin is both helping Ukrainians directly raise funds and enhancing Western pressure on the Russian government by enabling its citizens to escape the collapsing ruble. So this person is taking the idea that Russia is evil, and they're in the evil position, and then Ukraine and the United States and its government is in the good position, obviously saying that these oligarchs, you know, referring to Russia kind of in this evil light. And then, you know, this person probably thinks, oh, there's no oligarchs in America. It's just a free and fair democracy. Things are not as they seem. It is pretty obvious here that someone who maybe is influenced by a corporation or government probably wrote this, but policymakers should be careful when encountering exaggerated claims about Bitcoin's role in sanction evasion. Rather than viewing Bitcoin as a national security challenge, U.S. should explore how, and some experts have noted, Bitcoin may undermine authoritarian states and bolster U.S. strategic objectives. Now, this person's taking a stance of sort of not trying to exactly kind of poke the knife at the bear, but they're sort of, you know, taking a thumbtack and slightly poking it every once in a while, which this is not what crypto is about. Crypto is not about appeasing the government and saying, oh, it can actually help our government, you know, get rid of authoritarian controllers, and that has its own whole political narrative. Bitcoin is about overthrowing the entire establishment itself and moving into a brand new age of economic development, different from what we have now. Moving on here, Bitcoin is ill-suited to help Russia evade sanctions. Bitcoin currently is far too small to replace the dollar and euro as trade currency. Now, how could anyone who backs cryptocurrency possibly say anything like this with a straight face? Bitcoin is currently too small to replace the dollar and the euro's trade currency. That makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. It is currently the 14th largest currency on Earth, surpassing three currencies in the last week alone: the Thai baht, the Mexican peso, and the Russian ruble, as we have seen. So it is the 14th largest currency on Earth, not too small to replace the euro or the dollar as trade currency. Russia's annual pre-war exports total roughly $400 billion, around 50% of Bitcoin's current market capitalization. Attempting to sell Russian goods in Bitcoin would exaggerate its already high volatility and consequently would make it hard for Russia to predict, manage its commodity revenue. So this also makes absolutely no sense. So if Bitcoin is a bigger currency than the ruble, Then how is it that it is actually a bad thing for Russia if they decide to actually trade on it? Because if they trade using the ruble, wouldn't that be even worse for them, even though they're using the ruble right now, and they were using the ruble before this? And so using a currency that's larger than the ruble is apparently not good. So this person fails to make any sort of cohesive argument here, saying that, oh, they can't use Bitcoin internationally to trade because it's too small, and it's too small for the Russian economy. Meanwhile, they were using a currency that is smaller. So this makes absolutely no sense. Major exchanges maintain strict compliance with the U.S. and other jurisdictions' sanctions. Regimes. They're highly responsive to blacklist designated addresses and non-compliant exchanges. So this also is wrong. Another point wrong here. Major exchanges such as FTX, such as Binance, actually don't comply with U.S. law. That's why you can't get onto Wobi Global, you can't get onto Binance Global or FTX Global in the United States, because the United States doesn't want these exchanges operating in the way that they do globally in the U.S. That's why there's an FTX sock puppet. That's why there's a Binance sock puppet. That's why there's a Wobi. I don't think Wobi has one in the United States. But again, you can get around these regulations with just a simple VPN in everything like that. But no, these large exchanges actually don't maintain strict compliance with the United States. That's why Binance doesn't operate in the U.S. And the only way that they do is with the Binance U.S. sock puppet exchange. So this person's wrong on that front as well. Sanction. Violators will have a hard time hiding their transactions with Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies. That's not true at all. Look at Monero or Secret Network. You can't even see the transactions on those networks. Cryptocurrency monitoring companies cooperate closely with law enforcement using advanced tools and the inherent transparency of blockchains to flag violations in real time. So I'm really failing to see the actual argument play out here. This person most certainly has not read the Bitcoin standard, does not believe in the Bitcoin standard, and doesn't believe in blockchain technology at all. So my guess is somebody who is probably affiliated with a large corporation or government probably got into this organization. Maybe the organization itself is set up by them. However, I don't think that they're acting in good faith here. Rather than Bitcoin, Russia will likely turn to China for help. Just weeks before invading Ukraine, President Putin and Chinese President Xi Jinping declared a no-limit strategic partnership, blah, blah, blah. We don't have to read this whole thing, but basically saying that China and Russia are going to work together, and then that's a bad situation for the United States. Bitcoin is helping vulnerable populations in this crisis and otherwise support U.S. interests. So they're saying that Bitcoin and crypto actually supports U.S. interests, even though Satoshi Nakamoto himself advocated for it overthrowing the traditional financial establishment. So this person is taking everything that Bitcoin is actually valued for and completely warping and changing and turning it into something that is dark and twisted and evil right now. Don't listen to these people. When you see articles like this, know right away that it's probably some kind of psychological operation. This is insane right here. I couldn't write this myself. This is just out of the most evil sort of sphere. I could not come up with this. This is insane. Saying, oh, it's actually going to help the U.S. interest. It's actually going to help the U.S. government, even though it was designed to take down the traditional banking system. And I don't know what it means by U.S. interest, the people of the United States, or just the government and the oligarchs that control the U.S. Because this person says that the oligarchs in Russia, you know, that Bitcoin's actually hurting the oligarchs in Russia because the U.S. can use it against them. But he doesn't want to talk about the oligarchs in the U.S. that actually don't want cryptocurrency. That's really interesting. So let's kind of look and go over the history of currency, the history of stocks in the first place, and why empires exist. Because we know right now the U.S. empire certainly exists. Our corporations are all over the earth, in every single corner, manipulating things and changing things. And that's how it's always been. But looking at the Dutch Empire, now this was the first empire to actually have a stock exchange, and there's a reason why they became an empire in the first place. The world's first IPO, the Dutch East India Company, held its initial public offering in August of 1602. It was the first of its kind in world history, and therefore a key event in financial history and the history of the capitalist world. And I don't like to use the term capitalism or socialism because they're kind of outdated trends at this point, and people just kind of get very divisive when it comes to that. But what it means is more a sort of like liberal opening of economy, so people could just kind of move their money freely around, and then that causes, you know, more and more development over time. A public share issue, and this goes into what an IPO is, but we know what that is, an initial public offering. Basically, a stock exchange is allowing people to take and buy shares in their company in basically in ownership of that company in a limited liability way. So before IPOs and before the stock markets, if you wanted to invest in a company, you essentially had to become a part owner. And an actual true owner in that, basically, and then they were private organizations, right? So if you were to invest in a company in England before this, you basically had all the liability of that company. If you wanted to take, there were no dollars back then, but if you took $10,000 invested in a company, you would essentially become an owner of that company, and you would have all the liability of it as well. And that's how the laws worked back then. But until this point, that there was no such thing as a stock market. But until now, when the Dutch in 1602, you could freely move your money around and invest in Dutch companies without the liability of maybe they went bankrupt and nobody would come to your house. You would lose all the value of that stock, but you wouldn't be completely destroyed financially. So this opened a whole new world of finance to the rest of Europe. And there's a reason why the Dutch Empire became so successful and so rich because of this. It was drawing money in from all of Europe, all around the world. People from France, Spain, England, Italy, Russia were investing in the economy of the Netherlands because people were getting this kind of limited liability ownership of these companies. And because there was so much capital flowing in, these companies got gigantic and started to do things all around the world, manipulating all markets around the world and things like that. So the Dutch became extremely rich because they were able to kind of harness the entire world's economy and begin to kind of export their ideas and export their corporations around the world. And now this morphed into England, obviously following in the footsteps of the Dutch. Eventually, England caught onto this and made an even more kind of limited liability stock market. And it began to actually take money from all around the world. Of course, they had a better sort of they had a better navy at the time, so they were able to kind of manipulate the Dutch in the rest of Europe in that way, and they had better trading companies and kind of a better naval management system, so they were able to create a stock market, an even bigger and better one than the Dutch, and actually take more development from the Dutch stock market, from the rest of Europe, and just hoard all the wealth from Europe. And that's why Britain created such a large empire. How the East India Company became the world's most powerful monopoly. They controlled pretty much all of India, much of Southeast Asia. They controlled basically all of the trade lines, and you could invest in that in a limited liability way. This is extremely important for how empires are built out, and as you can see, the British Empire was the largest in the world. Now, we currently have the American Empire, but we will get into that. Now, what Russia is looking at right now is they, on one hand, they wanted to stop the influence of Ukraine moving into the West. And so that's one reason Putin decided to invade Ukraine recently, was because the West and NATO aided in the overthrow of the Ukrainian government in 2014. And so this basically caused the government of Ukraine to shift from kind of an Eastern-aligned, Russian-aligned sort of alliance to a NATO-aligned sort of Western-aligned economy alliance. And so Russia wanted to put an end to this. They wanted to put an end to the American sort of empire. And so what they decided to do was do two things at once, basically take one action and have two consequences out of this, good or bad. One, they wanted to involve Ukraine back into the Eastern sphere and, kind of use their old government of the Donbass region, because if you know the history of the Civil War of Ukraine, it was happening for a while. But the West aided in the overthrow of the government in 2014, and some of the Eastern regions of Ukraine continued on with that old legacy government, which is the Donbass region, and then some other regions still continued to follow the old government. And so Putin wanted Ukraine to be back in the sphere of influence and also to decouple the Russian economy from the power structure that continues to exist with the American Empire. And so now Russia is off of the SWIFT system, and so they can kind of freely create their own sort of banking system. And I think we know where this is heading, but why would Putin do this? Well, because he knew that the Western influence was growing on Russia. And this is really kind of the last chance that he had to sort of get away from the system, because I don't think he has much time left in office. If he does at all, he would have to probably move offices once again, because I think you can have two terms and then you have to move to a different branch of government, I believe. And he obviously saw that the Biden administration isn't quite as strong as the Trump administration when it comes to things like this, international diplomacy. So he really saw his chance here, as well as influencing internal politics. He didn't have to pass any laws. He didn't have to go around any rules, repeal anything, go through the parliament. No, he just took one action and two consequences, right? Ukraine's back in the sphere of the East. And also, Russia is decoupled from the traditional financial system of the West. And so now what we are seeing is Putin probably wants to take back sort of the power that the West has gained over the East, right? So you're seeing that the stock market and United States companies are everywhere around the world, and that is currently why there are, you know, so many problems. But you know, you could talk about the Iraq War, and maybe some companies were influencing the Middle East. You talk about Afghanistan and the same problem, Libya and the same problem. You talk about Syria and the pipeline that was going to go from Qatar all the way to Europe through Syria, and Syria said, nope, we're allies with Russia. And then so there was a civil war in Syria. I wonder why. So there's a lot of problems happening in the world because, of course, the United States empire is everywhere around the world. And a thing to talk about this is its centralization, but we're going to get into that. Looking at what's happening with tokenized stocks, this is extremely interesting. They are globally available, highly divisible, they're traded 24/7, and these tokenized stocks are basically regular stocks but put onto the blockchain. And so what's extremely important about this is that you can invest in these stocks even though the SWIFT system is cut off. The Russian economy is basically cut off to people in the West now. People in Russia can't invest in the Western economies now. But if Russia decides to put its stock market on the blockchain and tokenize their stocks and have derivatives on the blockchain and something like Binance Smart Chain, this could change literally everything. So right now, FTX, you can buy tokenized stocks on FTX. And they're not real tokenized stocks in the way that you, I don't think you can actually transfer them out or anything like that. But you can get Tesla, Apple, Amazon, Facebook, Netflix, Google. You can get Alibaba. You can get Pfizer, BioNTech on FTX right now. But you used to be able to go to PancakeSwap and other trading websites like Uniswap. I don't think they were actually on Uniswap, but you know what I mean. You could go onto decentralized exchanges and, you know, exchange Tesla stock for, you know, Binance coin. You could exchange Tesla stock for Amazon. And so what you used to be able to do was you could buy Tesla stock in Amazon. And then if you decided that you wanted to farm them, you could put them into a pool. And whenever people traded back and forth between these exchanges or between these stocks on the exchange, you would earn a small fee from that. So basically what was happening was people were investing in the stock market because they could earn a yield on top of these stocks as well by people trading them. And this is kind of how regular organizations make their money right now. This is how the large corporations that control the stock market, the large corporations that basically own all of the liquidity and make all of the money from trades right now. Looking at Webull, Robinhood, you know, Vanguard, Ameritrade, all of those websites make money because they own a lot of these stocks and people trade them. But what was happening was people were buying all of these stocks and actually making money while these regular companies were actually losing out to, you know, cryptocurrency, because people were looking and saying, hey, I can trade for a lot cheaper on PancakeSwap. I can trade for a lot cheaper on, you know, on a derivative version of this stock. So I'm going to use that instead. And so regular people were making a lot of money during this time. And this was probably, I would say, 8 or 9 months ago when PancakeSwap had these stocks on their website. And they got a cease and desist letter from the IRS and the SEC for obvious reasons, because it was opposing all of these large corporations in the corporate interests from in the government, you know, passing laws to try and stop PancakeSwap from doing this and litigating and things like that. So regular people were investing in stocks because they could make money off of the trade of them. That is what is important here. Now, the same exact thing could happen if Russia decides to tokenize its stocks, right? Because right now in the West, you can't really invest in MOEX stocks right now, Moscow Stock Exchange. You can't do it. Basically, we're banned from doing it. And if you do try and do it, it's illegal at this point, or you'll basically have it retransferred back, and you just can't do it. Well, if Russia decides to put its stocks onto the stock market, this will completely change everything, because people in cryptocurrency won't just be buying their stocks to invest in an oil company and get dividends. People will be investing in these and basically to become an exchange itself, because these exchanges make money off of swapping, right? And longing and shorting. Well, if you are into crypto and you want to make money off of that as well, let's say you have Cake and BNB, you want to make money off of owning BNB and make money off of owning Cake, you bond them together, put them in a liquidity pool, people trade them, you make money. Now that takes away from the actual power structure and the people that control the system itself right now. And that is probably what Russia is pointing at currently. If Russia decides to do this, it will undermine the entire Western system. It will make it so incredibly easy to invest into Russian oil stocks, into Russian car stocks, into whatever Russian stock, whether it's digital real estate, well, not digital real estate, but real estate tokenized, just development in Russia in general. If they make it that easy and they make it so that you can make money off of people trading, you better believe people are going to do this. You better believe people in crypto are going to do this, because I don't, right now, I don't have to set up a Robinhood account. I wouldn't have to set up a Webull account. I wouldn't have to set up anything with Vanguard, with a, you know, 401k or whatever have you. I could just buy Russian stocks on the blockchain and no one can stop me. So when this person says that, no, Bitcoin won't actually help Russia evade Western sanctions, it's not about evading Russian, you know, Western sanctions. It's literally about taking down the Western power structure itself. So this person fails to understand everything I just said. They fail to understand and really dig deep into actually what cryptocurrency is and why Satoshi Nakamoto came up with Bitcoin in the first place and wanted it pushed so badly. Just simply doesn't understand it. Either that or this is propaganda from this institute. But you have to think outside the box of NATO and CISTO. You have to think outside the box of what, you know, is Putin evil? You know, is Biden evil? Is Putin good? Biden good? It's much larger than that. It has to do with the fact that these empires and empires rise and fall. And right now we're seeing something very similar to what happened to the Dutch and what happened to the British Empire. But again, if Russia does this, you better believe things in this world are going to change. They can't stop Russia from doing this. They're a nuclear power. So looking at what Satoshi Nakamoto said, the root problem with a conventional currency is that all the trust is required to make it work, the central banks must be trusted not to debase the currency. But the history of fiat currencies is full of breaches of that trust. So what this basically means is that leading up to all of this and going back through all of this once again is that through this entire time, these empires have been debasing their currency. They have been manipulating the markets. But under a cryptocurrency system, you don't have anyone you need to trust. And there's no one to breach that trust as well. There's no real way that some kind of fractional reserve banking system can actually come up out of this. There's no way for any kind of manipulative corporations to actually influence cryptocurrency itself. Because you're seeing that every single time one of these corporations gets so large, they just influence the government to make certain laws. Well, how are they going to do that in crypto? And a lot of people say, oh, what if they own most of the crypto? What if, you know, a corporation buys most of the Bitcoin? Again, you're not getting the entire picture. You can create other cryptocurrencies. You can create other currencies just like this, you know, the snap of a finger. It can completely change instantly. So every kind of corruptive sort of power that exists is kind of wiped and washed away by cryptocurrency. The founding fathers kind of saw this happening as well, and they had their own ideas. Bank paper must be suppressed, and the circulating medium that must be restored, it must be restored to the nation to whom it belongs. And under cryptocurrency, the nation would be everyone. Everyone would be able to own, you know, a portion of a bank. Everyone would be able to own a part of the global empire, because right now they don't want you to be anywhere ahead. They don't want you. They want to be owning the entire, you know, financial infrastructure. They don't want you a part of it. They want to be, they want you to be subservient to it. They want to control you. And I sincerely believe with you that banking establishments are more dangerous than standing armies, and that the principle of spending money to be paid by posterity under the name of funding, but is swindling the future basically on a large scale. He's saying that these banking systems are basically stealing wealth from the future and bringing it to themselves right now. And Putin understands this. Putin, he knows what is going on. He knows how empires rise and fall. He understands this. So if he decides to actually tokenize the Russian stock market, it's going to cause development in Russia like we've never seen before. It's going to cause world development like to an insane degree. And we're seeing right now El Salvador, we're seeing Thailand, we are seeing, you know, Singapore, we're seeing Bulgaria, and now Russia perhaps is going on to and allowing its exchanges to trade Bitcoin and actually maybe perhaps going on to the Bitcoin standard to undermine the Western power structure. And this doesn't have to do with good and evil, because, you know, life isn't about good and evil. It's about a lot more than that. Humans are very interesting. We are very interesting creatures in that we say that we want freedom and peace and prosperity, but yet we still don't have a system for that. And I believe cryptocurrency really actually is that system to where people cannot corrupt it, to where people cannot manipulate it. Of course, there will be little things that are, you know, manipulated and controlled. Of course, there's rug pulls and things like that. But overall, the governance of these cryptocurrencies cannot be manipulated. It is in everyone's best interest to make it the most fair as possible. If you own a lot of Bitcoin, you own a lot of Cardano, you don't want to manipulate that network, because then the value of your assets will plummet along with the actual, you know, true value that is coming out of it. So if you do bad things with a lot of the currency that is in it, people are going to say, I don't quite like that currency so much. I'm going to trade my assets into another currency that isn't as manipulated. And so this is extremely important. This is something that is happening, certainly. So people like who wrote this article, Matthew Pines, people like, you know, Peter Schiff, just don't quite get it yet. But seriously, this is an actual thing that is happening, and Putin is probably taking notice of it. So I'm also seeing something else that's pretty interesting here. China is coming out all against cryptocurrency. They don't want it. They're kind of afraid of it. So either China is going to rug pull itself from becoming the next world superpower, it's going to cut off its own leg, or is there another reason why they're doing this? We might get into that in another video. But I believe cryptocurrency is going to change the future, and it's currently changing the future right now. Putin knows what's going on. So if you guys like videos like this, please like and subscribe down below, and I will see you guys in the next one. Take care. Bye-bye.